Okay, gotcha. We call the meeting to order. Comments from the public? Anybody? Item three.
John, just a note, we did have feedback from other entities about holding these meetings remotely. And one thing was to allow a longer delay on public comment in case someone's trying to figure out the technology.
Okay, sure.
Turn on their mic. So just a note there.
So what we can do if it's okay is we'll go through a couple items, and after each item we'll ask if there's anybody who's joined that has a comment. Is that legit?
That's fine.
Okay.
I might have a comment if you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering how things are going at CSD. I think this fits in category of technology. How's it working from home, and is CSD still functioning?
Yeah, it's going great. We set ourselves up very well over the last 2.5 years, implementing cloud-based software and mobile computers and systems, and the ability to access even our network drives that are local. And because of that, and desktop scanners, et cetera, because of that, we're now at the capability to have all staff work remotely. There are still some physical things that we need to address in the office and process from time to time, but we're able to keep very minimal staffing on limited number of days and only as necessary, and of course, practicing proper sanitation. So from a technology standpoint, I can tell you a number of staff have been working remotely for a couple weeks, and it's fairly seamless. I mean, there's a little bit more work when you have a hard copy document that you have to process, scan, sign, send back, that sort of thing. But other than that, it's running very smoothly from my perspective.
Okay, that's great. I had no idea what you were going to answer, whether it was terribly frustrating or the greatest thing since sliced bread. So overall, the organization is functioning pretty much as normal?
Exactly.
Okay, great.
You know, okay. Mark, I don't know whether this is a good idea or a bad idea, but I know Gail is starved for news. You could call her and just give her a 2-second update. You know, this is what we're doing, like a little PR blurb. This is what we're doing. This is how we're handling it. Everything seems to be under control. Blah blah blah.
Sure.
I mean, it would be good. I think no news is good news. I haven't had any comments, you know, personal comments from 6 feet away from anyone. So I guess we are. I guess we're doing pretty well.
Yep, I will do that.
Item three, monthly website, social media update.
Good morning. I will be giving you the update today. We had an upturn in our website page views, 6,244 during the month of March, and 4,225 during the month of May. How much of that can we attribute to the coronavirus? We can see the peaks right in here. This is like the 17th is the last, is the 16th is the day that we said we were closed to the public. The 17th is the day that we went home. So I think that speaks to the coronavirus. These are our views from other states. Again, the same 6,269 page hits. And this is our update from Facebook. We went to 199 total page views during the month of March, up from 135 during the month of February. So our clicks on Facebook and our website went up.
Good. And again, I think that, you know, the fact that it has not skyrocketed is probably good, because, you know, if there are no problems and people are turning on the water and nothing's happening that's unusual, I mean, no news is good news. So
very true.
Any other comments or public comments on item three? Okay. Item four, referring to lakes as reservoirs and educating the community about the ultimate use of water in the reservoirs. Timely from the standpoint that I personally am out there every day, and I have been here for 34 years, and I have never seen that many people ever. It's amazing how many people are out, how many people are using trails, how many people are on bikes, families that are walking around above Calero on the Nome Trail. I mean, it's incredible. There was one day out there, I actually tried to count. I think it was close to 25 people that were just fishing. So our reservoirs are getting a lot of exposure. And I wanna as we go forward, whenever we kind of go back to normal, I really want to come up with some kind of a continuing program and some signs that that we can put up out there that will really highlight the fact of what those used to be lakes really are. Paul sent some, I don't know who all got it, but I got it. Paul sent photos of the various signs that we have around the reservoirs now.
Amelia, could you bring that up, please? Thank you.
Oh, there you go. Cool. Oh, okay. Again, as we go forward, we can look at the word lake, you know, as we modify the signs. And one of the things I'd like to think about going forward is maybe that maybe it's two signs, or it's some kind of a companion sign, where on the first sign we're gonna have maybe up in the left hand corner we'll have a little outline of the lake, what it looks like, and the heading. And yeah, leave that one there, Amelia. That one, that's where I want to go.
Very good.
And from that vantage point there, that's a pretty good vantage point where we could point out on that sign some of the, you know, some of the basic facts about how much water is in there, how it was built, when it was built, and really at the bottom of it, maybe have something, or at the, if you put up here in the, is my pointer working on that or not?
It's not. Where?
On the left hand side, for example. Yeah, where you are there. If we had like an outline of that sign of the lake itself or the reservoir itself, and the name Calero Reservoir to the right of it, and then below it, some basic facts and information about when it was created, how much water is in there, what it does, where the water comes from. Not a lot, but at the bottom, maybe have something that says, enjoy the reservoirs, help us protect our water supply. And then a little underneath it, maybe Rancho Murrieta Community Services District. I understand, and the reason I said companion sign is I understand that we need a sign that says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But I'm looking for some other way for people to associate that body of water with what it really is and to instill in them some of the importance of protecting it. So, I don't have this very refined, but maybe it's two signs, one exactly like the one Paul's showing there and another one that's more like informational and friendly.
John?
Yeah.
Oh, you can hear me finally. I have I've been hearing everybody, but nobody could hear me. So anyway, I think that's great. I think that somehow it has to be a real strong message about the fact that these are not recreation reservoirs. These are, except for Clementia, this is our drinking water and our shower water and, you know, the water that we bring into our household. And while it would be lovely to, you know, have an unlimited amount of recreation in Rancho Murrieta, that is not the case. And Paul, I was thinking about this quite a bit when I saw the agenda. And I'm just wondering, in an ideal situation, what would you recommend that we allow in Calero and Chesbro, and what wouldn't you recommend? What would you change, I guess?
Yeah.
Would you change anything?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, as the person responsible for supplying the water to the community and beholden to the regulators, it's difficult to have supply reservoirs where people recreate in and let their dogs swim in, et cetera, even though they shouldn't. So it's pretty typical that the reservoirs are closed off to the public. I wouldn't want to do that. I realize how much people enjoy it, and I would not want to be crucified for limiting access to it, but ideally you keep your water supply as safe as you possibly can so that you can avoid contamination and any issues that would result from, you know, people having contact with it.
Do you think that this community and the visitors to this community have a concept this business about the dogs or anything for that matter? It's like an entitlement. What do you mean I can't let my dog go in there? And I think that's just not a healthy approach, to say the least. And I just feel like for the bulk of the people, they want to keep it. They want to keep it, you know, the way it's supposed to be, but they're not necessarily getting that message that, you know, you really can't put your dog in there and you really can't have your body in there. You know, a friend of mine the other day was saying they wanted to get I think they're fishing kayaks or something where you wander around in the water in a wetsuit or in a kayak that has some kind of coverage. I don't understand that. You know, why would we ever let that happen in the in those lakes, reservoirs?
I think, Linda, I think one of the things that, in fairness, and I agree, and I see a lot of it, but we've made them, but in the years I've been here, we've never really made a concerted effort
right,
to educate people as to what's really going on out there. And the reason that we want to remove one word and add another, lake and reservoir, is just as a start. But I think if we can convey to people the importance of observing those rules, we could get advocates, if you want to call them that, that would, you know, really help us to self-police it. You know, there are a lot of folks who take a lot of pride in that back area. I consider myself one of them. And you know, what you need is enough education that when somebody sees something like that, somebody, you know, for just as a starter, somebody will say something. And it's not common at all. I mean, you know, like, you know, a golden retriever heaven, you know, it happens all the time, and people are reluctant. or not educated enough about what's going on out there to physically say something.
The answer that you get is, what are you, the water police?
Yeah, and well.
And then it goes, on Moms or one of the other, delightful social media.
And I might also add that the very disrespectful tone of residents towards those attempting to enforce.
Right.
We need to
have an honest discussion about that, because that's a reality.
Yeah.
Whether it's our utility staff or our security staff out there trying to enforce regulations around the lakes.
And I think what you need in that conversation to start it, what you need to understand is even in today's world, before we've done anything with this, that's a minority. It is a minority. And I think that, like Paul said, I don't think that the first step in this process is some arbitrary decision that we're going to shut this down and shut that down, complicated by the fact of, most recently of who owns what, water and lakes and property and ground underneath it and all that other stuff. But I think we need to at least try to start to convey the message before we come to the conclusion that we can't control it in the environment that we operate in today.
Yeah, and I think this is a great starting point to change that, the signs and the names of those, and then clearly, like, bullet point one, drinking water supply reservoir. I think that would really shed some light, because not everybody is aware of that's where there's water's coming from.
Right. Right.
And a reminder that the things that they want to do can be done in Lake Clementia.
Yep.
You want to let your dog swim? The dog can swim in Lake Clementia.
Well, no, he can't. I don't think he can. Can he, Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, he can?
As far as I'm aware of, yeah. There's no restrictions in Clementia. It's just like the river.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I guess that needs to be part of the communication. Then that would be a good idea to say, hey, we have.
In other words, if you want to do this, do it in Clementia and make a list of what you can do in Clementia.
We have a reservoir set aside to accommodate those recreational
activities. Interests. Right.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
oddly enough, you don't see people's dogs in Clementia very often.
That's true. You're right. and the only place you would, the prime access to that reservoir is from the park and the beach, which may have something to do with it. As you walk the trails, the backside of Clementia is much more difficult to get into the water. A lot of it is a lot more remote. What you're seeing now with the well-defined trails around Calero and Chesboro is that's where all the traffic is going.
Easy access.
Yeah, it is easy access. And it's access for everybody. It's access for people, for handicapped and for people who are physically not able to handle the backsides, and the trails out there. But, walking around Calero and Clementia are fairly easy strolls. So,
what do you think we should do as follow up?
Well, I think we probably need to define a plan. What is it we're trying to accomplish and what is it we think we need to do that? And the signs would be part of that. Thinking through different kinds of communication, through our website, and maybe come up with some kind of a slogan, you can help. I need some time to think on this one, but something to do with, you know, hey dude, this is what we drink, and do what, you know, help us protect our water supply. There may be going forward something we can do to encourage folks who are out there using those facilities for recreation to help us police them. You know, I've come up with a nice way to say that, but that's where I think we want to go.
Mark, do we need to lay this on you guys, or is there some way that there could be a, not a committee or yet necessarily, but a working group that could help out with this, you know, start like what John's talking about, start putting some ideas together, et cetera. And because, you know, it's hard. I every time we come up with a new idea, it's like, oh, who's going to do this, you know? Can we work that way in this type of organization?
We could form an ad hoc committee of the board to work on that.
Okay.
The other thing to consider in that is the potential of aligning ourselves with the trail stewards. Maybe there's some kind of a joint endorsement we can do. Those are folks like me that, you know, a lot of them are riders and really understand the fragility of the whole thing, even as it relates to the fact that a lot of it's on private property and all this stuff. So they have a lot of knowledge and a lot of respect and people recognize now who they are. So maybe there's some joint thing we could think about, or part of it could be some joint communication between the two groups to see how we can facilitate this.
We could do an ad hoc committee and get ourselves a little organized, and then see if we can invite them in, you know, for a conversation if they want to, you know, participate. Is that an allowable thing,
Mark? I think that's the perfect approach to it. Have it board ad hoc committee directed, and then reach out to the various stakeholders to participate in that. So this is something we should have on our board agenda for the next board meeting to recommend establishment of that ad hoc.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Awesome.
And I believe we would have to reach out to RMA as these signs are their signs for the most part.
Yeah, I know. We can do that. And if we form some kind of an ad hoc committee, I mean, we might, I talked about the trail stewards, but I think maybe there's something we could also do in conjunction with RMA. There's a few of those folks that are, involved out there. I mean, that are out there a lot. So, you know, I'm sure there's some people on their board that would be interested.
Yeah, this
it sounds
this
good. That sounds very good.
Some of the areas need to be replaced anyway.
Yeah, and you know, in conjunction with that, Solos has raised quite a bit of money. And is in the process of replacing the old Eagle Scout signs that surround the lake with some really, really attractive stuff. And the plan there is ultimately, when they're ready, the plan was to do some type of a dedication ceremony or whatever. And it's something that, as part of that, we might be able to get a little bit involved. Maybe we've got a flyer, or maybe we do something like that. I don't know. It's just something to think about, because they're planning, and who knows when in today's world, but they're planning a rather big event out there when this happens. And the signs are being fabricated. I mean, it's you know, again, I don't know when we could ever put them in, but it would sometime this summer, they will probably be ready.
Right. They will be. Probably sooner than that, even if we can't get them all in. And they are on that section of property that actually does belong to RMA.
Right, right. They're and the Paul knows, I'm sure, where they are, but there's the metal stanchions are already in place. The idea, I think, is to mount them to the existing stanchions.
That's true.
So yeah, it'll be a big installation project, but if we get back to normal at some point, we can talk about that.
Okay, so we're going to bring this up on put it on the agenda for the board meeting in a couple weeks.
Yes,
Paul, could I ask you one of the things I've asked this through the years several times, and it's an RMA discussion as well, I guess. With the boats that we allow into the reservoirs, we presently allow boats from the outside, and when those boats come through, we have no way of knowing whether the bottoms of those boats have been inspected or anything. I mean, I got this on one of my trips going up through Oregon and Washington and up into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
They are serious. These people are serious up there. You have to stop and get a permit after somebody physically inspects your boat. And if you go by this, if you go by these places at 11 o'clock at night, they're open. I mean, they are not kidding around. And I'm just wondering long-term what the potential problem could be for us if somebody one of these days, you know, takes his boat to Half Moon Bay, and 3 days later, he's up here dropping his boat in our reservoir.
Yeah, and I've already reached out to the fishing club and RMA, and you know, continue to ping them over the years. What that's related to is invasive species.
Yeah,
and Department of Fish and Wildlife has a lot of communication material available for that, and we've even shared some of that out there with the fishing club and posted at the reservoirs at times. That's if you get like zebra mussels or New Zealand mud snails, these things really just clog up water intakes and overtake your reservoirs. And it costs, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands plus, depending on the size of the water agency, to deal with it. And so the best solution is to keep them out. And the fishing club is currently trying to go to the RMA and not have allow outside boards boats to come in, I believe.
Right.
Talked with the fishing club president, and the whole fishing club's not really excited about all these strange boats that outside come into boats. The reservoirs, and they're not getting permits from what they're saying, like they're supposed to at the RMA office. And exactly like you're saying, if they bring in an invasive species, you know, these people don't basically, like you say, have any skin in the game. And so they come, damage our reservoirs, leave, and, you know, it's no skin off their back. Yet the community's ending up having to deal with quite a bit of an issue if that's the case. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for limiting outside boats, but the flip side of it is that you have people that they have their kids want to bring their boats in and, you know, fish with their grandparents, et cetera, that may not have a boat. And I understand there's always exceptions, but yeah, it would be ideal if somehow RMA or some organization, I couldn't see how we would have the staffing to do it, but inspect boats when they go into the reservoirs.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know what the, for example, and then you've got the boats versus kayaks versus canoes thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, I know people since the beginning of time have been dragging canoes and kayaks in here. I don't know what kind of a exposure that presents versus an actual, you know, 12-foot aluminum fishing boat. But
I would imagine.
Go ahead.
If you take these boats or kayaks or canoes, whatever your water preference is, if you take them into any of these other lakes, it would seem, although I don't know if the material has the flotation object has, it makes any difference, but it would seem like it would be the same possibility.
Yep, Does it make any sense? If you go to the Fish and Wildlife website, they're very clear about, yeah, fishing waders, fishing equipment, bait boxes, anything.
Right.
That may be a discussion. I mean, you know, and we've had it before. It's just kind of been on deaf ears, but it's always been something that I've raised over the years several times, and it gets no traction. But you know, there's a lot of things we can nuance our way through, but maybe this is not one of them. Maybe we're just not allowing those kinds of vessels on our reservoirs. I mean, that's just the end of the story. I mean,
on two of our reservoirs.
Well, even the third one. I don't know that you want, that's a reserve source of water for us, and I don't know that you want anything gumming up any of them.
I agree. I couldn't agree more, but I just had to bring it up. because you're going to get that. So.
But we can have that discussion as well. Again, understanding that, and this is just my opinion, that there's probably 95% of the people living here that would agree with that.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's not like everybody, not like this whole place is dead set against protecting the water supply. That's not true. We got a smaller percentage that makes a lot of noise, and that's what you got to overcome.
Yes. The other, now I lost my train of thought. The fishing club. My understanding at this point that the actual fishing club is pretty small. I'm delighted to hear that they want to participate in that directive or that direction. But we have to reach out to more than them. That would be another thing. We could bring them into the ad hoc committee at some point and get their input. But we have to reach out to, you know, more than the fishing club. That's a start, I think. But I've heard and from people who have been in the fishing club that it's very small right now.
Okay.
Is that what you hear too, Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
You're correct.
So I think if we can put this on the agenda then for. And this can be like a subheading of it if you want, Mark, or something, so we can bring this up with the full board to some degree, see what we want to do.
This will be a separate item for discussion.
Okay.
So you want to, great.
Amelia, you want to move on to bring me back the agenda? Ah, magic. Item five. First, item four, any public comment? Anybody out there that wants to say anything? Item five, communicating to the public about development proposals related to the core functions of CSD. Development maps and links.
Discussion last meeting and quite a robust discussion about this, and I believe that staff has a very clear understanding, I hope, of what we want to implement. The plan is to develop a map, and that's on my plate right now, just so you know. We're going to try to prepare a nice map of existing and potential developments and use that as a template just to inform the community, and then also have links if there are county project applications in place for those developments to provide those links on our website so that those researching the projects will be able to see what's going on at the county related to those.
Cool. Yeah.
Another part of this is to, in the updates on the improvements, is to provide a small blurb for each development type project in those updates, just to describe what the project is about and a brief background of that project. So that's what we're working on. It's still in progress. You know, we're just getting to it as we can. As you can imagine, the COVID-19, we did have resources in place to respond to it and set ourselves up for remote work, but it has drawn a lot of time to formulate that, talk about strategies for staff working and how we're going to work together remotely. So, and there's also been a lot of interchange between our contractors, public advocacy groups, et cetera, advocacy groups for water, a lot of discussions related to COVID-19 that has been going on. We've had an RWA meeting on how to keep operations going, for example. So I realize it's not fully salient to this discussion topic itself, but just to give you an idea, there's been a lot of other things going on behind the scenes and where we've been focused, and not just me, I mean other staff, on technology and how to work things out. So we just ask for a little bit of patience on this, but it is definitely on our priority list of to-dos.
Right. The other thing from a communications standpoint to consider is, as we go forward, this may change, but if you're putting information out in this current environment, people are not particularly focused on a lot of other stuff. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you might put out there or want to launch in a big way that, from a timing standpoint, this is not it. I mean, you know, people are trying to get their kids set up to go to school and homeschool, trying to find toilet paper and you know, this is not big on their list right now. So, you know, getting this stuff ready is a great idea, but you know, looking potentially down the road at timing for some of this stuff, you know, is something we can talk about later on too.
I agree, John and all. I was the one who wanted this on the agenda, and it is a difficult thing in the midst of all of what's going on and what people are focused on and concerned about at this point. And I think that what we can do, whatever we can do, is a start. I'm particularly interested in getting people, when we're ready, getting people to read this or to look at it or to pay attention to it. And I have got to say, I think I put bullet points down here someplace. The way we present this is so important. people don't want to read a whole lot. They want to know the facts, or they want to know what's happening. And so I think as much as possible as we can explain something, for instance, this recent situation that we had with the drainage and Mr. Sullivan, et cetera. I don't know how many people paid attention to that, but at this point, we seem to have a process, but it needs to be put out in a form that is very clear and simple. And this is the process. This is what has to happen from now on. And a bullet point approach to that, to me personally, I don't know if anybody else agrees with that, is the way to go. Because it's easier to read. It's easier to pick out the parts that you understand and the parts you don't understand, maybe ask questions, etc. And I feel that way about just about everything that that we do that has that we're trying to get out to the community. I think it needs to be done in the pipeline. I think it needs to be done online. I think, you know, as many places as we can present something and really try to get the attention of our community. make them, you know, help them get involved. But I also understand the position that we're in right now. And so from my perspective, I hope that when we are able to put something together, that we can put it together in a very, you know, as much as possible. Of course, all these things have, you know, parts that are hard to, that are not black and white, they're gray. So that's one of the issues. But as much as possible to put it out in a form that that people will look at, pipeline, et cetera, and that it is in the pipeline. I think that it would be behoove us to look at the pipeline and have sections that are in the pipeline every month, a development section, a COVID section, you know, whatever happens to be going on, a water section, et cetera, somehow break it up so that what we know from staff reports and from our meetings that nobody comes to gets put out to the community. Hello?
Understood.
Does that, what's that?
It said understood.
Okay. All right. Thanks. It's just,
so did we just, okay, that was item six. I think we got some of item eight in there. Did we get item seven?
Yes. We can skip item eight as soon as I'm concerned, yeah.
Did we do item seven?
No, not exactly.
That's got your name on it there.
Yeah, I know. Everything has my name in it. When we go through these our meetings, and then we have the drafts that get put up into our packets, you know, the packets from what has taken place in these meetings, etc. I'm feeling like the information is there, but not necessarily any comments on follow-up or follow-up and breaking it out so that if there is follow-up to be done or if there has been follow-up, what that was, and in a succinct and bullet point numbers, I don't care, just some way that we actually know what's happening next. Does that make any sense?
I'm not totally clear on that one. Why don't you?
Okay, well, for an example, one of the things that we have recently gone over is the water metering and utility staff work. And at the end of our, oh God, what meeting was it? I think it was our general meeting. We talked about how to notify people and broke it out into two basic situations. One would be the general need to go through a certain number of water meters every year and change them out, and sort of a general plan. And then the other was the situation where you're finding a problem. Either the homeowner or the resident has notified us, or we have found a problem. And so we decided, I think, that for the regular ongoing service work, that we would send a letter to the people that we had planned on working with for that period of time, that year, whatever. And then if there was a need to work with the people who where there's a serious problem, that we would be contacting them by phone, because it's not usually a big number. I would like to see, since we aren't doing it right now, I would like to see somehow the start of process for these things. And that goes to the meeting follow-up section that I was wanting to talk about, that we put this, that we've decided this, and that we put it somewhere until we can put into effect an actual process situation. I know, Mark, you've talked about a technical solution for this. Is there some way that we can put this down on paper and put it in a some section that we identify as process, in process, some way that we can say we have a process for this, and this is the process, and this is what we're going to do this year, and hopefully, as you know, as time goes on, we're able to make that happen for a variety of things, dealing with communicating with the community.
Well, one of the areas where we can list that type of information is in our outreach initiatives updates, which are quarterly.
Yeah.
We actually
right.
did have updates for this meeting because this is on the quarter. However, unfortunately, the agenda item, as we are exchanging different versions of agendas, it did not get on this meeting agenda. So it'll
okay.
be next month's agenda. But that outreach update, initiatives update, would be a good spot to document, you know, what outreach type activities. Like, for instance, the update that we did have put together has an update on the COVID-19 outreach on water quality and security, et cetera. So that's a good
working spot. With the okay, that's fine. Yeah. I hate to lose, you know, the steps that we're making, it, you know, because we are in process. So if we can put it somewhere that we know where it is, that would be great.
All right.
Okay, are we ready for, so we've worked our way through 6, 7, and 8, Linda? Are you?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Item 9, directors and staff comments. Mark, Paul, Tom, are you in here too somewhere?
That's for me.
Mark, anything?
I really don't have anything other than to say that, you know, the staff has been doing a great job keeping everything running, working really well together. Really appreciate all the staff.
John, I'm on the call and I just unmuted that. I don't have anything to add.
Are we, I didn't see it. Are we having a finance meeting or we're not, or what's your plan there?
We're having a finance meeting next week. Yes.
Okay. Next week. All right. One other thing from just comments that Mark's received and I received, I guess Linda maybe even too, was the letter from Cal Waste, that I understand we will discuss at our meeting. You know, they're getting hammered from a cash standpoint, because as what they communicated to us, so much of what they do is commercial pickup, and with all of the businesses that they service being closed, I mean, they're left pretty much with the residential side of their business. And they have appealed to the state for relief as relief becomes available. And they've asked us to send letters of support on their behalf, which I guess we'll discuss at our meeting. I emailed Mark that I am contacting RMA with the hope that they can take those letters and can forward them as well. And as this develops, if need be, personally, I'm going to try and take on, you know, either an e-petition or some action inside the community if we think that will help, in conjunction with getting a hold of people that I know personally and some of us in the community know personally down at the assembly, to see if we can't support them and get them some help. It's one of our more long-standing relationships as a district that we've had in this community. And it has been nothing but good news since we started it. And if there's anything we can do for those folks, I want to try and do it.
Understood. That'll be on the next regular board meeting of April 15th.
Right. And
I am going to, I've got a call in from Rudy Vacareza of Cal Waste. And part of that discussion is going to be to ask for a little bit more information on what's being proposed.
Right.
There is a summary, but it's, you know, I think for our board to be able to act responsibly, we need to have a little bit more details.
Okay. Okay.
I have not seen that letter. Is it somewhere?
It was sent out. The way they rolled it out to board members, at least my understanding was to all board members. So it's unusual that you have not received it, Linda. You might want to check again in your email. Then after board members received it, about 2 hours after board members received it, I received a copy of it.
Oh, okay.
But I can, I'll forward you what I received.
Okay.
Just to make sure you have it.
Before that meeting we have on the 15th, I'll also try to get us some clarity out of the folks that I know downtown as to what this is, where this is all going or coming from in terms of, I don't know what all's being put together down there. And if it's some big pile of money and then everybody has to fight to get their piece of it, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. And they're asking for a full year of relief when the impacts may not be a full year. And so that's just one of those areas for discussion.
Right. Right. So, okay. All right then. Anything else?
Nothing else for me.
Okay. We're done. We'll see you guys later.
Take care, everyone.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.